Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 7, Chapter 9, Prahlad pacifies the Lord with prayers, text number 19. Balasyaneha sharanam pitaro nishingha. Naratasya chagadam udanvati majitom nao. Taptasya tat prativi dira yati ihanja shastas. Tadvad vivo tanubritam tad upekshitanam. Balasya of a little child. Na, not. Iha, in this world. Sharanam, shelter, protection. Pitarao, the father and mother. Nrisingha, O my Lord, Nrisingha Dev. Na, neither. Artasya, of a person suffering from some disease. Cha, also, agadam, medicine, udanvati, in the water of the ocean, majitaha, of a person who is drowning, now, the boat, taptasya, of a person suffering from a condition of material misery. Tat prativiti, the counteraction invented for stopping the suffering of material existence. Yaha, that which. Iha, in this material world. Ihanjasa, very easily. Ishta, accepted as a remedy. Tavat, similarly, Vibho, O my Lord, O Supreme, Tanubritam, all the living entities who have accepted material bodies, Tvat Upekshitanam, who are neglected by you and not accepted by you. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. My Lord Nrsingadev, O Supreme, because of a bodily conception of life, embodied souls neglected and not cared for by you cannot do anything for their betterment. Whatever remedies they accept, although perhaps temporarily beneficial, are certainly impermanent. For example, a father or mother cannot protect their child. Physician medicine cannot relieve a suffering patient, and a boat on the ocean cannot protect a drowning man. Purport. Although through parental care, through remedies for different kinds of disease, and through means of protection on the water, in the air, and on land, there is always an endeavor for relief from various kinds of suffering in the material world. But none of them are guaranteed measure for protection. They may be beneficial temporarily, but they can afford no permanent benefit. Despite the presence of a father or mother, a child cannot be protected from accidental death, disease, and various other miseries. No one can help, including the parents. Ultimately, the shelter is the Lord, and one who takes shelter of the Lord is protected. This is guaranteed. As the Lord says in the Bhagavad Gita 9:31, Konteya pratijanihi namai bhakta pranashiti. O son of Kunti, declare it boldly that my devotee never perishes. Therefore, unless one is protected by the mercy of the Lord, no remedial measure can act effectively. One should consequently depend fully on the causeless mercy of the Lord. Although as a matter of routine duty, One must, of course, accept other remedial measures. No one can protect one who is neglected by the Supreme Personality of Godhead. In this material world, everyone is trying to counteract the onslaught of material nature, but everyone is ultimately fully controlled by material nature. Therefore, even though so-called philosophers and scientists try to surmount the onslaught of material nature, they have not been able to do so. Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita 13.9 that the real suffering of the material existence are four: janma, mrityu, jara, vyadi, birth, death, old age, and disease. In the history of the world, no one has been successful in conquering these miseries imposed by the material nature. Prakrite kriyamanani gunai karmani sarvashaha. Nature, prakriti, is so strong that no one can overcome her stringent laws. So-called scientists, philosophers, religionists, and politicians should therefore conclude that they cannot offer facilities to the people in general. They should make vigorous propaganda to awaken the populace and raise them to the platform of Krishna consciousness. Our humble attempt to propagate the Krishna consciousness movement all over the world is the only remedy that can bring about a peaceful and happy life. We can never be happy without the mercy of the Supreme Lord. Tvad upekshitanam. If we keep displeasing our Supreme Father, we shall never be happy within this material world in either the upper or the lower planetary systems. Balasyaneha sharanam pitra. Balasyaneha sharanam pitra nushingha. Nartasya chagadam udanvati majitaun. Now. Taptasya tat prati vivdir yani hanja shestas tadvad vivo tanubritam tadupekshatanam. O my Lord Nrsingadev, O Supreme, because of a bodily conception of life, invited souls neglected and not cared for you by you cannot do anything for their benefit. Whatever remedies they accept, although perhaps temporarily beneficial, are certainly impermanent. For example, a father or mother cannot protect their child. A physician and medicine cannot relieve a suffering patient, and a boat on the ocean cannot protect a drowning man. So this gives us an idea of our helpless position in material existence. Generally speaking, it's hoped, as it says, Balasya Neha Sharanam Pitaro Nishingha. It's hoped that when a child is born, the parents will protect the child, although that's not always the case nowadays, and that the child will grow up. But the child may succumb to death for one reason or another. Nowadays, it's quite common to kill children in the womb. And by their scientific advancement, they're becoming more and more expert at killing children after they're born by giving them various injections, and their very methodology of so-called preventing disease makes the body susceptible more and more to disease, which is good for business if you're a doctor or a pharmaceutical company. Not very good for the people receiving the injections and the medicine, but that's not very important, because what's important is how much they can give you, pay you. Therefore, it's not guaranteed that even after you're born, you're going to live for very long. And even if you live for very long, you're going to die anyhow. Whether you die today or die tomorrow, we have to leave this body. And therefore, this idea that we have to prolong our life, but compared to eternity, there's no question of prolonging life. Our life is so insignificant in length compared to eternity that it has no meaning, so-called prolonging life. If you can live for another 100 years, Lord Brahma, his life is 311,040,000,000,000 years. So that means in 1 second of Brahma's life, we go through 99,000 of our years. That means if we live for 100 years, in Brahma's lifetime, if we live for 100 years, each of those 99,000 years, which means that we live for, what was that, 100, take away 990 time, births and deaths in 1 second of Brahma. Now we're so afraid of leaving this body. But what does speak of going through 990, almost 1,000 births
and deaths
in 1 second of Brahma? And what to speak of during Brahma's entire 311 trillion, 40 billion years? How many births and deaths are we going to go through?
So we're so worried about having to die.
But dying is quite common. And even if you take it, well, at least I'll live for 100 years. But even Brahma's life of 311 trillion years is considered to be a flash in cosmic sky. Just an exhalation of Mahavishnu. Which makes Mahavishnu only, I don't know how deep a breath he takes. But it only takes a few seconds for him to exhale and inhale. And during that time, so many Brahmas are being created and so many Brahmas are being destroyed. Therefore, we have that story of Loma Hasharishi. Loma means hairy. The hairy Rishi. He was living by the bank of the Ganges and he was meditating. And it is said that Loma Hasharishi, his whole body was covered with hair. And every time Brahma would be born and die, go through his 311 trillion, 40 billion years, then one of Lomasha's rishis' hairs would fall out. And he would live as many years as he still had hair left on his body. So he was going to live for 311 trillion, 40 billion years multiplied by tens of thousands. He was meditating one day and one of his disciples came and said, Guru Maharaj, we'd like to build you a bhajan kutira because it's very hot here and we'll be very much more comfortable in the bhajan kutira. He said, what is the sense? Lama Harshan says, I'm only going to live for a short period of time. So we're imagining we have many, many years left. We have many, many things to do here, to accomplish. But in the course of time, it's all disappears and has no meaning, has as much meaning as the babble of sea waves. If you go to the ocean and listen to the sea waves, you may think that they're saying something, but it's just the sound of waves crashing against the shore. It has no real significance. Similarly, material existence, unless it's utilized in Krishna's service, it has no real meaning. Just the same ridiculous thing going on again and again. That I am Tarzan, you are Jane, I am Mickey Mouse, you are Minnie Mouse, I am Romeo, you are Juliet. Whatever. The same in 8,400,000 species of life. The same attempt to imagine ourselves to be the divine couple. The divine mice, the divine monkeys, or the divine prince and princess is all it's a show in the material world, which has no meaning, because at the end we simply get our karma for our so-called display of prowess. Therefore, we may struggle, and indeed it's worthwhile struggle if one is practicing devotional service. But as it says here, even the parents do protect the child, even the boat crosses the ocean, even the medicine is effective by Krishna's arrangement, and the people do not die prematurely. Still, everyone dies anyhow. As I said before, there was one man working on the Titanic. Titanic is full of controversies and conspiracy theories. Anyhow, this particular man was working in the Titanic in the boiler room. And whether the when the ocean liner hit the iceberg or the boilers exploded and covered this man, this engineer, with oil, but he was thrown into the ocean. But because he was covered with oil, therefore he was able to survive the freezing cold of the ice-cold water, and he was picked up and saved. 1 month later, he's celebrating his miraculous being saved, and he got drunk in New York City. And at that time, there was some rain, and between the sidewalk and the road, there's just like a few centimeters, was filled up with water. And he was drunk, he tripped and fell, and his nose fell into that little centimeter of water, and he drowned. So this is the fact that you may get protected, just like that, as I said, the story of the girl from Australia. Actually, she was from England. She was in Bali, and in Bali that year, there was a terrorist attack on a bar, and she left 5 minutes before the bombs exploded and killed dozens and dozens of Australians. In any case, to celebrate her miraculous savior being saved, she went to Australia with her friends that survived. And there she was in the northern part of Australia where they had the Great Reef, and they decided to go swimming at night. And they went swimming, and when they got to the about to go swimming, a crocodile came and grabbed her and took her underneath the water and ate her. And that happened right before a sign that said, "Beware of crocodiles." Usually, once every 5 years, someone gets eaten by a crocodile or something. It's not very common. But she was miraculously saved from a terrorist attack, only to become attacked by another type of terrorist. But at least her death serves some purpose. Good meal for a crocodile. So we may think that, let me survive some more years and I'll be happy. But actually, no one survives. Even if you... child grows up, even you, the boat crosses the water, even the medicine is effective, still you grow old and die anyhow. And if you live for another 60 years, compared to 1 second of Brahma's life, it's only like a 10,000th of a second of Brahma's life. You've survived longer. Now, if I gave you 1 million euros, you'd appreciate that. But if I only gave it to you for 1 billionth of a second, you wouldn't think it was very important. Such a gift wouldn't be considered very auspicious. Similarly, to survive here for 1 billionth of a second of Brahma's life or 100 trillionth of a second of Mahavishnu's life longer is not very important. What is important is if we can concentrate our mind on Krishna a little bit. That's actually important. Everything else is insignificant. So I'll stop there. Thank you. Any questions? Everyone's standing in ecstasy. Yes.
Maharaj, what does it mean to be stable in victory and defeat, fame and infame? How does
it means you're always thinking about Krishna.
Yeah.
Within
so
your heart, you're always thinking things. Because what can you can't? You're 1/10,000th the size of Tipperary's spirit soul. What can you gain except for more illusion? And what can you lose except for your illusion? Just an illusion with this body, we're gaining something, we're losing something. Because we have nothing to do with the body. We're just desiring, and Krishna's arranging, either through his spiritual energy or his material energy, what kind of existence our body is living under. But
but it has nothing to do with us, nor are we even arranging it. It's all being arranged by the material energy, by the spiritual energy, depending on which energy we want to be under. So this attachment to gain and loss is just illusion. It has nothing to do with our real selves. It's just some conception we have. It's a dream. If you gain something, you'll be anxious about losing it. And if you lose something, then you'll be anxious about trying to get it back. So you never wind up peaceful. Anything else?
Okay, thank you.
All right, thank you very much. Prasad Raj, Shrimad Bhagavatam, Ki Jai.